Hanover Square Press and Harper Audio present Van der Valk, Love in Amsterdam, a novel by Nicholas Freeling, performed by Sam Devereaux. Part 1. The House in the Josef Israelskade. The man paced up and down the cell. It was a large cell, he thought, and a good one. Clean and bright. Though he had done so several times before, he looked at the furniture with careful interest. He did not know why he should be interested. "It's that I have nothing to do," he thought, and then, "That's not so either." He was always interested in such things, wherever he was. "Waste nothing," he said aloud, and then again, not aloud. It didn't do to talk out loud. Not that the warders minded. You could stand on your head all day without bothering them in the slightest. But some damn psychiatrist might have told them to write down anything he did and infer something silly from it. Pretty silly, he thought. All men talk to themselves aloud. They do a lot more, and without anybody calling the witch doctor. They listen to their own voices. They conduct imaginary orchestras while listening to the gramophone. They look at their faces in the glass, he thought. "You're a smart son of a bitch," they say, aloud. Means nothing. Tension. Nervous tick like scratching or picking your nose. Millionaire plans take over. Secretary enters, finds great man picking his nose. "I meant no disrespect, Sir Roderick." The cement walls were plastered and painted a darkish cream up to waist height. Then came a narrow green stripe.
"What kind of green is that? Leaf green?
What Elsie de Wolfe called lamppost and park bench green?" The top half of the walls and the ceiling were a paler cream. Darkest, but still cream, was the heavy steel door. Damn cream.
"Am I a cheese merchant?"
"Cheese mite," he decided. The ceiling was high, with a shaded neon tube. He counted the steel knobs in the door. 9 rows of 4. And in the middle row, the 2 inner knobs were missing, because of the little panel.
"They don't seem to use that panel. They always open the door. Keys, bolts. Not any real trouble, purely automatic movements. Keys don't tire them or worry them any more. They can find anyone by touch. And the time spent is all automatically allowed for. At home, they're probably surprised at opening doors so easily."
The window was ribbed glass, and pretty dirty. But how do you make a good job of cleaning ribbed glass with bars outside? Inside there was plenty more cream, the folding bed, the hot water pipes, the little corner cupboard, the 3 coat hooks, the waist-high wooden screen round the lavatory bucket. On the wall hung a little rack for your knife, fork and spoon, a typewritten list of rules covered in plastic, and a vaguely biblical picture. This showed a bearded shepherd gazing dramatically at a lot of splashy stars and surrounded by a rocky science fiction landscape. "Presented by the Christelijke Vereniging of something in small print, some prisoner's aid affair with worthy intentions." He had a good-sized glass, too. He stopped polar-bearing and stared in it. The face looked a bit tatty and bloodshot. He looked with detachment and thought the face badly put together. Not well balanced. "Can't help it. Got to live with it. Hair needs cutting too." He turned back to the table, which gave him especial pleasure. Good, big, solid table. Nice and smooth. Good height. It was varnished a particular shade of yellow ochre that was somehow familiar. And as he stared, he knew why. Convents varnish their furniture that colour. Now why should jails and convents share a liking for exactly that rather hideous shade? Perhaps because it did look clean and bright, and neither jails nor convents are very attached to beauty. Not their job. The table was a good one anyway, and that gave him pleasure. Not important, but perhaps it would become important. The wood was hard, and the legs solid and level. There was room for everything. One could work at this table if one had paper and a pen. He put a folded blanket on his chair, sat at the table.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?